record, and now we're going over the Theraptera. And the Theraptera. Literally, Thea means lice. And now it's Terra with an A in front of it. So this is literally the lice without wings. And I think in an earlier lecture, I kind of briefly gave a little bit of a history, but what's gone on in this, the earlier versions of your textbook included what we now have in the Theraptera in two separate orders. We had the Anoplura, which are the sucking lice, and we had the Malophaga, which are the chewing lice. The sucking lice still form a nice cohesive group, so we still recognize the Anoplura as a suborder within the Theraptera. But now they've divided the Malophaga, the chewing lice, into three suborders. And we'll talk about those briefly. But anyway, so again, just if you happen to look at one of the older versions of the textbook or any other textbook, you'll notice that they all treated this as two separate orders. The Anoplura were the sucking lice and the Malophaga. And they actually have some good characters. Again, we'll see that these suborders are somewhat some intermediates that's caused this all to go together. But just in general, this first one here has the, it's called, you know, it says group Malophaga because we made these back when they were still separate. Well, no, it says order Theraptera, we might have had that. But anyway, the chewing lice in general, the heads are broad when compared to the thorax. So in all these examples, you can see the head is relatively broad when compared to the thorax. So, whereas in the, you'll see on the next one, real quick, the sucking lice, now the head is much narrower, and if anything, it's less than the width of the thorax. Okay. So in general, there was good head-to-thorax ratio characters. Also, chewing lice, as their name implies, had chewing mouth parts, whereas the sucking lice have sucking mouth parts. These, again, are relatively small, usually less than 6.5 millimeters. They are usually dorso-ventrally flattened. The mouth parts are usually somewhat withdrawn up into the head. Again, what they might call cryptognathy. Crypto meaning hidden. So nathy, jaws or mouth parts. So hidden mouth parts, literally. Compound eyes are reduced or lacking. Ocelli are absent. The antennae are usually relatively short, 3 to 5 segmented. These are all wingless. A general rule, I mean, these are ectoparasites on both birds and mammals. A general rule, those species that feed on mammals usually only have a single tarsal claw, whereas those species that feed on birds usually have 2 tarsal claws. Again, lice can be a source of irritation to poultry, to livestock, and to humans themselves. There's some diseases involved with lice. I'll mention a few as we go along. They are often blood feeders. Some can spread diseases. There's about 1,000 species in North America. There's a, not a fancy name, but a colloquial name or for the eggs and the immatures. Do you remember what those are? The eggs are all sometimes called nits. Oh. What about the immatures? Kids' games. Remember tagging somebody and saying, ooh, you've got
cooties.
Cooties.
Oh.
So nits cooties. Okay. Nits cooties.
Okay.
heard it. I just didn't think of it.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. The best way, it'd be hard to collect them. Sometimes you get calls about an infestation with humans anyway. You can always go and collect those. But on other animals or birds, you almost have to find freshly killed birds or mammals and put them in a plastic bag, and then later you can kind of comb through and see if you can get individuals off the bodies. Again, this order is considered to be fairly closely related to the Socoptera. I didn't emphasize it, but you could see some of the Socoptera. They live on the tree trunks and trees, and there are some species that live in bird nests where they feed on detritus and scavenge and stuff. Well, you can see how they could evolve from being a scavenger in a bird nest to taking that next step to becoming a parasite on the birds themselves. So, again, now back to the taxonomy. Again, used to be two separate orders, Mellifica were the chewing lice, Anoplura the sucking lice. The Anoplura still forms a nice group, the sucking lice, and we'll talk about that suborder in a minute. What used to be the Mellifica or the chewing lice has now been divided into three suborders. One of them is on this first handout called Group Mellifica, and it's over on towards the right-hand side. It's the one kind of in the middle of those five on the right-hand side half, called the Rhynchotherina. It's kind of an odd-looking creature with a long snout-like beak almost. And they consider it to be somewhat intermediate between the chewing lice and the sucking lice. But this Rhynchotherina, I mean, the only reason we're mentioning it, well, one is because it's this intermediate link that kind of caused some of the new classification. And I think we actually do have an example or a slide or something we might be able to get out. But there's only one family, the Hematomyzidae, and my notes say there's only two species in this suborder. One is a parasite on the Indian elephant, which we have those roaming around here, right? Mm-hmm. And the other is on warthogs in Africa. So it's not something that we're going to pay much attention to, other than it's an unusual looking thing and it's this connecting link suborder. The rest of the chewing lice have been divided into two groups, the Amblycera and the Ichnocera. And these over here, the top left hand corner, I guess I did erase that, is the Amblycera. In the Amblycera, notice on these pictures that the antennae are very small and short and kind of concealed in a little pocket on the underneath side of the head. So the antennae are very small and short and concealed on the underneath side of the head, and they also have maxillary palps, that MXP. You can see very short maxillary palps. So the Amblycera can be recognized by having the antennae clubbed and concealed in grooves or cavities, and the maxillary palps are present. Again, there's several families. Those feed on birds. That one feeds on birds. A lot of these are bird feeding groups. There's another family that's on perching birds and hummingbirds. There's another family, the Gyropidae, though, that gets on guinea pigs. So not 100% on birds, but now, the upper, well, on the right-hand side, except for that weird one in the middle, that Rinko Therina, but all the rest of those on the right-hand side are the Ishnocera. Now notice that the antennae are a little bit larger and out where you can see them. They're not concealed. So the antennae, they're still not very big, but they are out where you can see them. They're not concealed. And now the maxillary palps are lacking. So no maxillary palps. So antennae are more filiform, not concealed in grooves or cavities, and the maxillary palps are lacking. There's a couple families, the Trichodectidae, have a single claw. They're on mostly on mammals. The Philopteridae, again, on mammals, few on birds, but and then, like I said, the last group is now, this handout said group Anoplura, but it's now a suborder. The suborder, suborder Anoplura. Again, the head is narrower than the thorax. These have more or less sucking mouth parts. And so these would be the sucking lice. The antennae are usually exposed, out where you can see them. They're usually five segmented. They have a single segmented tarsi with one apical claw. They do have a spine on the apex of the tibia that opposes that one claw. So it does form a good grasping organ. So here you can see a close-up of the tarsal segment at the bottom where there's one claw, but there's this spine. And this is what I said earlier. Remember when we talked about bed bugs? They're the flattened bed bugs. And there's a chance you could confuse bed bugs with the sucking lice. They both have sucking mouth parts. But the bed bugs usually have those wing pads, you know, short wings. And then their claws look more or less normal, where these, you can tell they're very modified to actually hanging on to their host. So they have that holdfast organ. These have piercing sucking mouth parts. These mostly occur on mammals worldwide, more abundant in Africa than the other continents. Again, a number of families. For example, there's the Hematopinidae that I hear about a lot of times economically, that contains the hog louse, so lice that get on pigs and hogs. Couple that are more important to us, there's the Pediculidae contains some species that attack humans. Pediculus humanus has two varieties. So Pediculus humanus is called the body louse. Pediculus humanus capitis is called the head louse. So Pediculidae has the body louse and the head louse. It can cause an irritation on the skin when it's feeding. And so again, you've seen probably the disease name called pediculosis. Mm-hmm. There's some other diseases they can vector, endemic relapsing fever, etc. Then there's another family that I just mentioned, the Theridae. P-T-H-I-R-I-D-A-E. The Theridae are a little bit differently shaped. But these include some of those species that often the area of the body that they attack in humans would be more of the crotch area, the pubic area. And so, again, they have that vernacular name, the crabs. So these are the crab lice. There's a couple species. There's one called Theris pubis, which attacks only man. There's one also called Theris gorilli, that attacks both gorillas and humans. And that's the lice. Again, a couple of those important family names, you might remember those as important because it contains species that attack humans, but I'm not really expecting you to recognize these to the family level. You should be able to tell me how to recognize them to the suborder level. Any questions? And this is where the material would end for the next exam. So you got all the Heteroptera, the Homoptera, and then these three other orders we just did. And Thursday we'll start on the beetles. Again, thinking about it, we only have
a few weeks.
We only have all of November and a couple weeks in December to get all the Holometabolus in. And remember, November has Thanksgiving vacation in it. So yeah, we're gonna, and it looks like what it sounds like is gonna happen is I'm gonna lecture on the beetles and the Neuroptera. Uh-huh. And then it sounds like Jerry's gonna take over and start lecturing. He's always done the Lepidopter for me because that's one of his specialties. Mm-hmm. And the Trichoptera are related, and then there's a couple small families that it was just easier for him to do. I usually do the Hymenoptera, but since he's been working on pollinators and bees, he offered to do the bees for me. And then he's the one who offered it up. He said it's kind of silly for me to start the Hymenoptera and then quit and let him do the bees, and then I come in. So it sounds like he's going to do all the Hymenoptera also. And then at the end, I'll come back in and do the Diptera and stuff at the end. So any questions? I think Jerry's got all the Hemipteroid stuff out, but I will check with him and make sure we got everything out that we need to.
Yeah, in terms of remembering the classifications for the Hemiptera, are you going to ask us about the Geocorrhizae and Phibocorrhizae, like that particular set of food names? We're going to keep the suborder
thing. I probably won't go into a lot of detail. A lot of that is fairly easy. It's old classification, mostly to give you a feeling how the classification has evolved. And we'll do that for some of the other big orders. But if I would say something about, tell me about the Geocorrhizae, well, geo means, it seems like it'd be an easy thing to, geo means terrestrial. Those are the terrestrial ones, and I'd probably be happy with that. Amphibo, those are the semi-aquatic ones. And Hydrocorrhizae, that's the aquatic one. So they make me almost think you ought to be hoping I ask those because those are easy. Cryptocerata and that are a little bit harder, but crypto, of course, means the hidden, and so those are the more aquatic groups with the antennae hidden and stuff. But no, I won't go into a lot of detail in that old classification. I was hoping you'd have a feel for it. So,
I guess as a reminder, the Hemiptera was initially Hemiptera Homoptera, and then it turned into Hemiptera and Heteroptera, with Homoptera being pushed to Heteroptera?
It was Hemiptera and Homoptera. Now it's all been put together in one big order, the Hemiptera. We still kind of recognize the Heteroptera as a good suborder, if you will. But now the old Homoptera, it's kind of like we're doing with the lice. The old Homoptera has now been split up into several suborders. That's the Coleorhynchus, the Achinorhynchus, and the Sternorhynchus. But there's no Homoptera suborder anymore. And then I did talk about in the Heteroptera part, the infraorders, those seven infraorders. So. Okay.